Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. Kurt Warner is going to jump on board today. The Cardinal legend, former NFL MVP, Super Bowl champ. He's actually a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and we'll find out next week if he is able to make it or not. I want to talk to Kurt about how does a guy like Carson Palmer recover from just an awful showing, and is it damaging long-term at that position? So we'll talk with Kurt Warner about that. Eric, I think I need to talk to him about his high school team because he's coaching over Desert Mountain, and they've got his son's really good, so we'll talk to Kurt about that. Goody at the movies today, so chief film critic of Gannett, Bill Goody-Kuntz, Kung Fu Panda 3. But he also wants to talk about the People versus O.J. Simpson series, which is next week on FX. So we'll have Goody at the movies. Yesterday, I was in Los Angeles, thanks to Mark McClune and Jared for filling in. I saw the movie Race on Wednesday night. It's the Jesse Owens story. I was telling Eric about this, and he's like, I don't care. What are you talking about, you don't care? This is one of those landmark moments in the history of our country that you are supposed to care about these sort of things. And I'll get into that a little bit later on. I would say to you, take a nap before you see it. It's long.
But I shouldn't care is what you're saying.
You should care. It's long. That's all.
Take a nap before you see it.
Yeah. So you're awake. It's long.
Anytime someone describes a movie and the first thing they say is it's long, that usually means there's an issue with the film.
No, The Godfather
usually,
was long.
If you're like, you know what? It's really gripping. It's a little long. Instead is, it's long.
It's long.
Okay. There you go. Point.
It's long. I didn't know that Jesse Owens' family, and Jeff Scott is going to be here with us in a second. He's the PA voice at Arizona State. If you didn't know by now, the curtain of distraction last night has just taken over the internet. So it would be nice if the basketball team at ASU took over the internet. But for now, we'll deal with Michael Phelps and the Speedo. But Jeff sent me a note yesterday about Jesse Owens' final days were in Tucson and actually here. So I got his two daughters yesterday. They came into this junket over in Beverly Hills. And it was really cool talking to two ladies about how a guy like Jesse Owens loved going to Rawhide. That was his deal. Like, Rawhide was his thing. And I don't know. I've been to Rawhide. It's fine. But they said he'd love the gunfights. And so we're going to bring that to you on the stream here in the next, and maybe on the TV show in the next few weeks. All right, here's Jeff Scott. Jeff Scott is the voice of God at sporting events around the Valley. And at many, many sporting events, and is also the voice of Skyview Sports and is, in my opinion, the best news guy around. But he also does the ASU. I'm saying this kind of as a also-ran. You've done ASU PA for how many years?
This is my 25th year.
Could you ever imagine you'd be sitting there doing a game with a guy in a Speedo with gold medals around his neck, standing behind the free throw?
Don't know that I wanted to, Brad. But if it's Michael Phelps, I guess we can make an exception.
Gosh. So I think we have some video of this. And so this was last night. If you're wondering why it is everywhere, so here's the curtain. What was it like here when this is going on?
I was electric. I mean, we knew he was going to be there, but The first sequence of the second half where Oregon State was shooting free throws, they bring out the curtain, and the student section, which is behind him, just erupted. They could see him from behind, and we knew that something was going to take place like this. You knew it had to be something along the Olympic swimmer motif. And then the second free throw, after he missed the first one, he went full banana hammock on us. He had the yellow Speedo on. He ripped off the pants. He had the gold medals around his neck and the swim cap on his head. And he said right after that, he said, you know, the great thing about it was the guy was standing at the free throw line and he was looking right at me. I knew we were going to miss the free throw. He had a blast. It was great. It was really a lot of fun.
So he comes to games, you're telling me.
He came to a game a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he just sat by himself at the scores table across the way. And we put him up on the video board for the flex cam late in the game. And he was all into it with big smiles and flexing his muscles. And so you could tell that, you know, he didn't go to college because he just was, you know, full-bore Olympic swimmer. And he's still a kid at heart. You could tell that he really enjoys the atmosphere hanging out with the students. And he So Bill Kennedy is the associate athletic director out there, works with the 942 crew, the student section, on the curtain of distraction. They're always trying to come up with new ideas, and they have to go through him, and he's kind of the executor of it. And apparently he approached Bob Bauman, the swim coach who works with Michael Phelps, and they approached him, and he said, yeah, I'd love to do it. And they said, would you want to do the swim thing? I mean, get in a bathing suit and wear your gold medals around the neck.
So it was their idea to him.
Right. And he said, absolutely, let's do it.
Wow.
And you could tell he really was smiling from ear to ear. He tweeted it out afterward. We killed it. And I would be very surprised if you don't see a return appearance.
What would he do?
I don't know.
What could he do?
I don't know. He's going to ruin his perfect record at some point, right? Because the guy missed both free throws.
Right. You know, that the way that he looks there, where he's just jumping up and down, do they rehearse this stuff underneath the bleachers? Do you know?
I don't. You know? They do practice with their outfits and things of that nature. But I don't know if they brought him in for a... it was like Elvis was in the building last night. I mean, he didn't show his face to the crowd until the moment of truth. And then he hung out for a while. In the second half, he sat in the first row with his post-swim practice pants and T-shirt. Yeah. And he posed for some pictures and signed some autographs. And then Elvis has left the building. He was gone by the time the game ended. I was hoping to catch up with him, but he was down Scottsdale Road by then.
So what I'm thinking is... So, like, what could you do to top Michael Phelps and a Speedo with gold medals when it comes to Arizona State guys? Like, Mickelson, it's during the Open next week. He's not going to be here. Like, Phil wearing black with a hat, that would be funny. I don't know if Jake spinning a football, if that would do anything. I can't think of anything close to this.
No, I mean, maybe get Christy Yamaguchi to do some skating twirls or something like that. But other than that, I think that this has... kind of set the standard, and now maybe this will be the thing to do if you're a celebrity in town and Arizona State has a home game. You got to go by and
drop in
with the curtain of distraction. It's a great thing for the program and to get some sort of identity, and it's a lot of fun. And I got to tell you that in addition to the entertainment value that the curtain of distraction brings, the program is slowly on the rise. There's some traction there, and Coach Hurley is laser focused, and even he admitted after the game last night that he, for the first time, stopped and watched the curtain of distraction. He said he just couldn't pass on the opportunity. And that guy...
Time out. Let's draw this play. Hey, wait, whoa. Yeah, let's watch this.
You got to watch this.
Come on.
This is a frickin' most decorated medalist Michael in Olympic Phelps. History, and he's on my game trying to distract my opponent. And it worked.
They took
2 points off the board in a game that they won decisively. So, a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
It's Jeff Scott, Voice of God. Man About Town. Yes. You like that? Voice of God.
Love it.
I can keep that. Sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Jeff Scott there. I'd heard this morning that Thon Maker, okay, so I've mentioned that name before, not a guy that makes a thong, Maker. No, a Thon, T-H-O-N Maker, top player in the nation, is going to visit ASU next month. Sounds like it could be around the LA schools visiting. But you take something like last night, and... I know it's after the Cardinal season has ended and we're talking about a gag under a basket as the lead story here in the Valley. Yeah, we are the busiest sports market in America with everything going on, in my view. This just kind of adds to it. This is kind of like who we are here in Arizona. We have this crazy sheriff. We have stuff going on here politically that you just kind of scratch your head and say, really? This is where we are? I thought we were kind of progressive. And we have the curtain of distraction. So like John McCain is going to be with us next week. Senator McCain is going to jump on in. I don't know if John McCain, like on a horse riding around, would do anything. Like, what is that guy who's back there while I'm shooting free throws?
How about Barry Bonds doing something, anything in the curtain of distraction? He wouldn't play along because he's not that type, and he probably very rarely comes back to the Valley. But
you know where I'm going to go with that.
But that would definitely raise that would grab some headlines.
You know where I'm going to go with that one. If he had a big syringe or something,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
but like I said, he wouldn't play along.
I don't know if he'd have fun. Yeah, I don't know if he'd have fun with that.
A baseball bat in one hand and a huge oversized syringe in another.
But right. But like Jimmy Kimmel's an ASU guy, right? So Jimmy Kimmel has raised his profile, obviously, with his late night show. So you have to think of people that have graduated from Arizona State or who are involved with Arizona State that have some notoriety that a guy would say, oh, my gosh, this person is standing there while I'm trying to shoot a free throw. And I talked to somebody else last night who said that Oregon State players were aware that this was going to happen, that the Oregon State broadcasters were saying Michael Phelps is going to do something during the show, during the game tonight. But I don't know, guys, if you have somebody in your creativity, it's Brad at sports360az.com. Kurt Warner is going to join us here in a few minutes. Suns play tonight at New York against the Knicks. I have some thoughts on that a little bit later on in the show. They're going to be very short thoughts. We will do our annual debate of do you watch the Pro Bowl or not? This is one of those low-hanging fruit topics where you say, God, what a just train wreck. Who's going to watch that? And then you come in here Monday and you see the ratings and say, oh, my gosh, people watch that. Wow, go on a date, man. Do anything but watch it. But there's some people that think that's just the greatest event ever. Knock yourselves out. But next, it's Kurt Warner. We'll talk to the Cardinal legend, former NFL MVP, on all things around the National Football League. A little bit about himself, too. He's coaching over Desert Mountain High School. That's all next with Kurt Warner. I'm Brad Sussmann. So the thing I like about our next guest, and there's a lot of things I do like about Kurt Warner, is I saw him last at Queen Creek High School and during the high school football playoffs. And, you know, he's a busy guy. I'm a busy guy. We've got our kids. We've got our wives. We've got our families and all that stuff. But he actually took the time for about 15 minutes just to get caught up. But granted, it was a playoff game, but it was an hour and a half beforehand. It's not like I ripped him away from his kids. But he's been running. I've been running. He's a Hall of Fame guy that's sitting there. We'll find out this next week about that, of course, with the NFL Network, and there's so much to get to with Kurt Warner. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am great. Great, great, great. The Hall of Fame, is this your year, do you believe?
No idea. You know, it's just one of those things, you 2 years in a row, one of the finalists, honored to be in that mix. You know, I believe that I'm part of the mix this year, but there's so many great candidates every year that you look down the list and you could make an argument for each and every one of them. So when and if it happens, it'll be awesome and it'll be a tremendous honor and completely humbling. But, you know, I don't hold my breath at this point that all this stuff is just icing on the cake because I'm just so grateful and thankful for the career that I had and the things I was able to accomplish and honored to be in this position. And now we just sit and wait because the hard part's over. Going out on the field and performing, that part's done. Now it's left up to a bunch of guys who have a really, really tough job is trying to delineate between all of these guys and who belongs and who doesn't or who gets in this year and who doesn't, a thankless task because I think you can always make arguments for other guys. Mm-hmm. But it's just so hard to break it down and try to, you know, figure out who fits in the mix from year to year.
What I see you, you're not the type of person that is going to lobby. There are certain guys, and it's just their nature, that will see a Hall of Fame voter and get all over them or find ways to get to them. And I'm sure it's very uncomfortable for you to talk about yourself, Kurt, but it also is not in your nature to lobby. It's not like you're a politician here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, one of those things that I mean, I could lobby for all these guys. And, you know, I think, you know, what I appreciate about being a finalist for the last couple years is that I understand because of the nature of my story and the nature of my career mm-hmm. that I'll never measure up to guys like Brett Favre when it comes to, you know, all-time wins or, you know, most passing yards and all of that stuff. My career will never be able to be compared with those guys because, I mean, I started late. I didn't get the same opportunities. But what I appreciate is that those that vote have placed me in this position 2 years in a row. This year, Terrell Davis is a finalist as well. And that they come to appreciate that impact and leaving a legacy on this game isn't always about the amount of opportunity or the longevity you have. It's about what you do when you're between those lines, however much time that you get. And, you know, those different reasons. Mine was because I didn't get the chance. Terrell was because he had injury. But they're recognizing that there's greatness there, regardless of how long you played. And I appreciate that part of it. And, because I know that I'll never stack up in other areas. And I appreciate that people recognize there's different ways to have that kind of impact. And I believe that being a finalist the last couple years is the voters recognizing and saying that, and very appreciative of that.
Who's presenting you?
Presenting me for what?
When you're in the meetings, like Aeneas. Well, but Aeneas had Kent Summers. Kent Summers
right,
got up and made the pitch.
From what I believe last year, being that I played in St. Louis and in Arizona, I believe Kent and Bernie Miklas were both presenting me at that time. I don't know if that holds true again for this year, especially with the Rams not being in St. Louis and how all that works. But that's who did it last year, and I would assume Kent again this year, but I'm not sure.
Talking with Kurt Warner, Carson Palmer, what advice would you give him in this off season after what happened at Carolina?
Man, I don't think there's any advice for the offseason. I think what we saw, the work that he put in, coming off the ACL and to get back last year, I think it all showed up for the first 17 weeks, And the hard part is you never can really simulate playoff time. You can never simulate that pressure. You never simulate the fact that you're playing against really good teams that that know what they're doing and you can't make mistakes. And I think that's really the only knock that you can have on Carson this year is just that he didn't play his best football at playoff time, but he played tremendous football, an MVP candidate. I mean, all those things that, yeah, so you don't go to the offseason and go, well, change a whole bunch of stuff. No, you just have to work through whatever that was at playoff time, whether it was just good defense or whether it was him just a little, too hung up with the situation or not being able to calm the nerves. You just have to hope you can get to this point again. And at that point, you can settle in and start to play your best football or settle in and play good football for your team at those moments. And, I think that's, I'm sure that's the most disappointing part for Carson is that all year long, I mean, he played tremendous
right.
football and really, got this team where they were, and then to play less than that level at critical moments is never any fun for a quarterback. But we've all been there. I mean, we've all had those moments and those struggles. In the midst of maybe a great season, and it's frustrating because so much of this league is quarterback driven, and especially at playoff time against good teams and good defenses, you have to get good quarterback play. And so I don't change a thing other than hope to get back here next year and that the team as a whole and Carson individually plays better.
Would you advise him to watch the tape and make notes, or forget about it, flush it, move on?
No, I mean, I think it's always good to watch tape and to kind of reflect because I think we know as players why we did what we did, what we saw on the field that made us throw a ball a certain place or not throw it. So, I mean, I think it's always helpful to go back and watch tape and, look at it and analyze it and say, why did I do this and, was that the right decision? But then, once you do that, you try to learn from it and put it up in your head, and then you let it go and you move on to the next one.
Can a player be damaged, Kurt, over something like that, given the magnitude of the game? It wasn't week six against Chicago or something. This was the one game away from the Super Bowl. Can a player be damaged from that?
Do you mean personally?
Yeah, personally, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, always. I think that, the nature of this business, especially at the quarterback position, is the ability to have thick skin. And the ability to, I used to have a coach that said one snap and clear, that no matter what happened on the previous snap, whether you made the best play or the worst play, you got to clear it and go on to the next one. And, I think the great ones have the ability to do that. They can go out and throw five interceptions and, don't have my best stuff, but then they go on to the next one and they can make the big play to win a game for you. So I think there's no question that, guys can get stage fright from having made mistakes and it makes them second guess themselves and they lose the confidence. Or there's other guys that, get into those moments and they didn't play well and they learn from it and they scrap it and they don't allow it to affect them the next time out. So I think different guys are different ways, but what I know is that you can only play this position one way, and that's having full confidence in who you are and what you do, and being aggressive every time you play. And you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. But once you lose that edge, I think it's very, very difficult to be really successful at this level.
Do you believe this will be Peyton Manning's last game, regardless of the outcome in the Super Bowl?
I do. I mean, I just, you know, with all the struggles that he's had physically, unless you really believed you were going to get healthy again and be able to play at the Peyton Manning, you know, level from a couple years ago, I don't understand the point. I mean, I know there's some records out there that I'm sure he'd love to break, but for me, this is, you know, a perfect situation, is that you didn't have your best stuff this year, yet you found a way to get your team to the Super Bowl, you know, and I think there's a big tip of the hat that goes to that, is that we all want to be the guy that throws it 35 times for 300 yards and four touchdowns every game and carries our team to a Super Bowl. But I think you can take great pride in the fact that there's different ways to lead and different ways to win. And Peyton showed that this year and got his team to another Super Bowl, his fourth Super Bowl, which puts him in rarefied air from that standpoint. You know, and as I said, not having your best stuff and really not having it for the last year and a half, I think it's going to be hard at this point to believe you're going to come back and be that guy again. So, you know, what better scenario than to have broken a number of records this year and set yourself up, you know, in a special place in the history of the game, but then to go out playing in the biggest game, I don't think it gets much better than that. And, you know, obviously if he could win, I mean, it would be a perfect ending. But just being in this game, I think, says so much about what Peyton, you know, did this year and the kind of leader he is. And I just think for me, it's a perfect way to go out.
Plus, half the fun would be if he retires, teams could speculate, not teams, media could sit there all next year if a team has a quarterback injury. Well, they could call Peyton Manning just like, well, they could call Kurt Warner. You know, you went through that for, you still go through that. And so that would be out there.
Yeah, that would be out there. But, you know, hopefully, you know, most of these guys that they realize when it's time to retire, it's time to retire.
Retire.
And just leave it there.
All right. Who do you like in the game?
You know, right now I like Carolina. I just think they're the most complete team of, you know, of all of them. And so, or of both of them. So, you know, you still have a lot of questions about Peyton and what he can do. And not that this team can't win. They got a great defense. Peyton's been, you know, done a great job the last couple of weeks of managing the game and not having turnovers. But I think when you look at the complete team, offensive line, defensive line, the whole defense, the offense, the way that they've been rolling and putting up points, I just think they're the more complete team right now, and you have to lean towards them. Although the way that defense played against Tom Brady in Denver was pretty special and pretty, pretty impressive. So if they can go out and put together another performance like that, no reason why Denver can't win. But I'm leaning towards Carolina right now.
Before I let you go, so you mentioned it earlier about St. Louis moving to Los Angeles. You have obviously had so much success in St. Louis. Are you going to still be affiliated with the Rams, even though they've left St. Louis?
I mean, I hope so. I really don't know what that looks like. You know, it's hard when you've never been in this kind of situation before and your whole entire career was in a market where your team isn't at anymore.
Right.
I don't really know what that looks like and, you know, how that looks moving forward. But, you know, my hope is that, you know, definitely. I mean, it's a big part of my history. And I love my time in St. Louis and love the organization. So hopefully I'm a part of that moving forward. I just, you know, as I said, I just don't know what that looks like right now. And interested, I think, like a lot of the St. Louis Rams, to see what that exactly means moving forward.
All right. Desert Mountain's got some players. They got their coach back next year. You're gonna turn it on next year out there?
Well, I hope. You know, the one struggle we always have is we don't get the numbers that a lot of teams do at our level. You know, we got moved up to the highest division again this year.
Right.
And so when you have 43 kids that go out or 45 kids that will go out, it's tough to find, you know, 9 or 10 that are big enough to play offense and defensive line. So that's where we always seem to struggle, is getting the numbers to be able to fill those spots. As you said, we got some good skill players. You know, my son led the state in receptions last year. Our quarterback had a really good year. I had a couple other, you know, All-State performers. So we've got some really good skill players, and we're going to have to find a way to to be successful on the edges and getting them the ball. But it was a fun year for us last year, and we, you know, built on the year before. We only had one win, got to the playoffs last year. So we're looking to improve on that, but it's going to be much more difficult in a higher division.
Safe travels. Love to have you come in our new studio sometime, and we'll see you out at your event. We're going to take care of that event, and we look forward to that in March.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks, Brad.
You got it, Kurt. Kurt Warner with us for a few minutes. Appreciate his time. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. I have a feeling that during next week's Super Bowl, it was good talking with Kurt, but I think one of the storylines that is going to come up next week, and I'm not one to play race much here on the show, because I think that that's something I've seen through the years, that if you do race baiting and you always make it black and white, and I've never seen color as long as I've been in sports. I just haven't. And I feel this little undercurrent building of Cam Newton is not getting enough attention, and he's being criticized because he's a young, good-looking black person versus this old white dude, Peyton Manning, who's going to retire. And I would just look at that and take a big step back before that ball gets rolling down the hill, because I'm already starting to see it on social media that Cam is this, and Cam's having to explain himself, and the people are trying to tear him down. I don't know. I know people of colors and races that, and origins that don't like Cam Newton because he's too out there. And I know people that don't like Peyton Manning, who have a skin color the same as mine, because he's just old and he plays for the Broncos and they hate the Broncos. So I'm just seeing that, and it's a dangerous deal in our country. And I don't get into that very often, but I see it coming. See it coming next week. And it's bugging me. Good Eat the Movies comes up here in a few minutes. Kung Fu Panda 3 and The People versus O.J. Simpson. Goody wants to talk about. Suns play tonight at New York against the Knicks. There was a time where this was a really big deal. Suns and Knicks, I always looked forward to that. Whenever the Suns would play those historic teams, you know, the Celtics and the Knicks and the 76ers. Well, they played the 76ers and have lost twice. But the Suns play tonight. You just wonder by the end of the season how many people are going to be bothering to show up to watch them play, that it's becoming a point where you could start looking at Grand Canyon University, who won again last night. They're 18-2. They're 8-0 in the WAC, and there's probably going to be more energy. I don't know, Eric, you've been to a few of their games. There's probably more energy at a GCU basketball game or the curtain of distraction over at Arizona State than there is for the pro team in town.
There's no doubt. You can't even compare the atmosphere at GCU or ASU than what's happening with the Suns right now.
So I said I'm not pounding on the Suns. It's just a fact that they've become like flatlined, like completely flatlined.
It's hard not to pound on them. I mean, what have they done that would give us any reason not to pound on them this year?
Well, but they've become like the last 2 weeks, whenever I bring them up, it's a joke. It's a joke.
I mean, there's nothing worse than irrelevance. And the Suns right now are as close to irrelevant as you can be without completely being irrelevant.
But here's the thing. In our industry, okay, in our industry, we're told that don't talk about them if they're not good, which lets them off the hook. Okay? Lets them way off the hook. Because this is when you pound on them even harder and go at them even harder when they're this bad. Because there's no excuse for them to be so bad. None. Zero. When I hear this nonsense about how players aren't following plays and then, well, it's really disappointing. We put these players. Yeah, you're the fools that hired these guys. And I do say fools. It's just disgusting what's gone on with them and how there's an excuse at every twist and every turn and every corner, rather than just come in there and let's get all this stuff out. Other than Jeff, let's get every last one of these guys out of here. And let's just dig down to the root of the problem. It's not Markieff Morris. It's the people that gave Markieff Morris the contract and the money and didn't have the vision or the foresight. I just get sick and tired of pro sports teams that don't own it and say, it's on us. And let's fix it, rather than, well, we don't know why they're not running the plays for the coach. Ridiculous. The Raiders are on my mind today. Could you imagine the Las Vegas Raiders? So the chairman of the Sands in Vegas has now admitted that he's met with the Raiders about building a $1 billion dome stadium on the campus at UNLV for the Raiders to move to Vegas. At some point, we've got to get through all this gambling is evil in sports. One of our more popular segments is Jimmy Vaccaro. Okay, and people will say to me, I love hearing what Vaccaro has to say on this or has to say on that. It's out there. And eventually these teams are going to, some group, like I've heard, who was it? Adam Silver. Adam Silver has talked about putting betting machines inside of NBA arenas. That's what's done in Europe. When you walk into the game, hey, let's go put $20 on the Suns losing tonight to Philadelphia. Well, of course we're going to, because we know that they are. And we can actually watch the game and bet and have fun. That Adam Silver's progressive thinking. So the NFL, if they're looking at Nevada, Las Vegas' campus to build a big stadium, I know this, I would fly in to Vegas to go to an NFL game once for a different experience, and I'd go lay down some bets, and they'd kill it up there. Like, they're going to build a Topgolf. We're just up there doing something with Jerry Rice. Skyview was. And I was talking to people at the Luxor, and they're with MGM, they're all the MGM properties. They're going to build a Topgolf up there. Those of you that have been to Topgolf here in the Valley know that that place is just crushing it. They're going to put a Topgolf up there that may be 24 hours a day. So dudes go out and they get hammered and they go on a bender and they do Vegas and then they go hit Topgolf. Well, what if there's an NFL team there? Why would you not want to go that route? It'd be great too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. The NHL All-Star Game is this weekend. The Pro Bowl is this weekend. Now, if I had to choose between the two, I think if I had to just 15 minutes, I'd watch the NHL All-Star Game. I can't watch any part of the Pro Bowl. When I was a kid, loved the Pro Bowl. They actually played. Yeah, I'm going to sound like old man, get off my lawn. I try to watch the Pro Bowl now, and you see that it's guys trying not to get hurt. You know, in their contracts, they have an incentive to show up and to play, and they're going to get a check for being in the Pro Bowl. That's the whole deal. You have a clause. You're going to rush for 1,000 yards. You're going to get $50K. Got that done. You get 10 sacks. You're going to get $100K. Got that done. You go to the Pro Bowl. You get $50K. Got that done. Here's the funny part about the Pro Bowl. Through the years, when I talk to players, when they get in trouble, Brad, man, I went to the Pro Bowl and I met this girl. Well, my family was out doing something and, well, we'll just go from there. And that happens. And that happens a lot. So they're going back to Hawaii. They're not doing it this year like they did here last year. And look, if you've got young kids, you want to take your kids out because it's as close as they're ever going to get to greatness, knock yourself out. I can't watch that stuff. It is unwatchable. A bull, capital. It's dreadful. Good Eat the Movies is next. Stay with us. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to talk with Bill Goodykunz. Good Eat the Movies. Doesn't mean Bill doesn't know sports. He could do sports. He's done this show. You've done this show once, right?
Yeah, well, I've co-hosted it a couple times, and I flew solo once.
Yeah. You want to come back and do it solo, or are you just done doing it solo? Do you think you did fine?
No, I loved it, man. I must have just crashed and burned, and that's why.
I don't know. I'll figure this one out.
There were no FCC violations, so I felt like that was in its own way a little victory.
Well, that's good. We kind of like violations. It's kind of like our intern got kicked out of where did he get kicked? He got kicked out of the Cardinals last week because they don't allow interns in the locker room. And we're thrilled for him. We're like high-fiving him. Like, this is great. You got in trouble.
That is. That's good journalism right there.
No, our intern last year got kicked off the sidelines at U of A. That's good. That's promising. We're happy. So if you get a violation, I don't care, really, as long as the company doesn't crash and burn. But it may anyways.
Or doesn't have to pay it.
So yesterday, speaking of crashing and burning, you'll like this. So I went and saw Race out in LA, and it's long, and I'm not going to be a film reviewer on it. I don't think you'd like it. I think I can't speak for you top to bottom, but I think you and I have known each other long enough that you would find it to be a little too long. But it's a great story about Jesse Owens, and I talked to Jesse Owens' daughters. But so I'm sitting there with Jeremy Irons yesterday, and right in the middle of the interview, one of the people in the room's phone goes off, and he had a meltdown. So I
whoa.
Yeah. He about laser beamed this poor girl for it. So then I try to get him back on track. And he looks at me right as I'm in mid-question. He's like, man, you're tall. How tall are you? What's the hardest part about being tall? And it's all on camera, and it's being in bad hotels where the shower head washes out your belly button. It's flying on planes. It's beds where you bend your knees up to fit on the, you know, I'm doing all these one-liners. And I thought of you yesterday of, I'm sure you've had crash and burns with some of these people, or when they get a little upset and not happy and grumpy, like you see a different side of them. Like, I heard Ben Stiller is the absolute worst nightmare of a human being when it comes to these sort of things.
So, I could see that. He's a pretty intense guy.
Yeah.
I've only talked to him on the phone. The only person that personally, I mean, sometimes they just don't seem that into it, and sometimes they do. Like Brad Pitt was like my best friend, but the one who didn't seem into it or didn't like me or didn't like my questions or something was Philip Seymour Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And I've heard many times from many people that he was very difficult, and obviously he had a lot of problems. But was a brilliant, genius actor. But he sat there and he had on a hoodie and he had the hood up and he said he had a cold and he was not into it at all. And I posted a little thing online when I talked to him. This is at the Toronto Film Festival. And like the studio gets in touch and like, this won't affect your review of the film, will it? And I was like, no, give me a break. The guy just wasn't into talking to me. That's fine. I don't care.
Well, you mentioned Brad Pitt. You look like him, so I can...
I wish.
Yeah.
He is. It's like these things that, you know, it's sort of the way that like football players and basketball players are so much bigger when you see them in real life,
because
they're in like real life context instead of all the other tall people that are around. In real life, Brad Pitt is one handsome fellow, I can tell you.
That's a tough deal. Okay, so let's get over to Kung Fu Panda 3. So this, actually, my wife said we should go see this with our 11-year-old. And we're getting to the point where I just want to tell the 11-year-old, look, here's $20. We'll see you afterwards. We're going to an R-rated adult movie. And you go see Kung Fu Panda 3, knock yourself out. Don't eat too many, you know, gummy bears or whatever. So is this movie any good, Kung Fu Panda 3?
It is.
Yeah?
It is. It's the same idea and the same story. I mean, Jack Black, they're all back, and it's a great cast. And J.K. Simmons is the new bad guy. But it's the same thing where Po, the fat panda, who is also the dragon warrior, he doesn't know who he is, and he can't quite figure out, you know, am I good, am I bad, am I, you know, can I do this? So they got to go in there, and, you know, he's got to prove himself once again. But it's a formula that works, and the jokes are pretty good, and the animation's really good this time. And, I enjoyed it. Sure, why not?
All right.
It's not save that card for some other movie.
All right. Okay. I'll get in there. So The People versus O.J. Simpson, which is on FX. The day O.J. was in the Bronco, I had RK surgery before LASIK. And my wife and you're not supposed to be out in the sunlight. So I remember her driving me home and my eyes, the medication was starting to wear off and I was in so much pain. So I go lay down in a dark room and I get this, "Hey, get up. You got to see this. OJ's in a Bronco and he may take his life." And she's pulling me out there. I'm like, I can't see. And I'm trying to open my eyes. And I can barely see it. And I'm like, my eyes, go away. So that's my recollection of OJ in the Bronco. Now this series is coming out. True story. So the series is coming out the series. Is this any good?
It's terrific. It really is. I mean, you can say it's a guilty pleasure or whatever, but the whole thing was a guilty pleasure. Yeah, the way that I've been thinking about it, and I just wrote a big giant thing about it that'll be online soon and in the paper on Sunday. You have a memory of that. I have a memory of that. I was at an airport bar waiting for my now wife to arrive, and I was watching the NBA Finals. It was the Rockets and the Knicks. They moved the NBA Finals to a little box in the corner of the screen, and they filled the screen with the... Yeah, with the chase, and I just read a thing about it. 95 million people watched that chase.
Wow.
Everything stopped. One of the ways that it comes back to me, and this thing is really good, and it brings back all that stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that you didn't know that they bring in that's just nuts and just crazy, but it was true. But the thing about it is, I was trying to tell my kids, and they're like, what was it like? Was it really crazy? And it was like, you can't believe how crazy it is, because things can't be that crazy anymore. There's been a fragmentation of media. You'd never get 20, you know, I say 95 million people watched the chase. When the verdict was read on whatever day it was at 10 o'clock in the morning, and 100 million people watched it. And supposedly, and this stuff you never know how to really quantify it, but supposedly so many people watched it that production of goods in America dropped $438 million because everybody stopped. And the Supreme Court was listening. They were listening to arguments, and somebody passed them a note telling them what the verdict was. Clinton, who was president at the time, was briefed that morning. The verdict is in. They're going to read it. And they had to know, what are we going to do if there's rioting?
Right, right.
You know, and because this fell, you know, not too long after the Rodney King verdict. And it's just insane. I mean, here is a famous guy who now is not known for being one of the greatest running backs of all time. Now he's known for this, if he's known at all. And the things that you've forgotten, I mean, Robert Kardashian was his best friend, which led to this Kardashian monster that we have now.
Right. Right.
And there's some scenes in there. David Schwimmer from Friends plays him, and he's there with the kids, with like Kim and Courtney and all of them. They're little, and he brags to him. He's like, Barbara Walters just asked me to for an interview, and then he's like, but remember, famous fleeting, and it's hollow with nothing. You know, if you can't be just famous to be famous, you know, but all these things. And the thing that a lot of people, I think, that when they think back of it, if they didn't follow it really closely, is he was acquitted. He was found not guilty. And despite an overwhelming amount of physical evidence, that it's clear that the guy did it. And that's what you see in this series. It's 10 weeks. It's 10 parts. And, you know, you go along, and it's like the prosecution has this airtight case. Man, we got this thing. This is, you know, we cannot lose. And everything that could go wrong goes wrong. The guy that finds the evidence is not just an avowed racist. He collects Nazi memorabilia. I mean, it's like everything that you just smack your head at all of it. And it's just so bizarre because it was so true.
Well, it sounds great. So you've seen it all, right? You've seen the whole series?
I've seen the first six. They only sent us six of the 10, but the cast is great. Sarah Paulson is Marcia Clark. And it makes you really feel kind of bad for her. I mean, she's sitting there trying to do this case, and all of a sudden, like, her ex-husbands just start trashing her. And, like, one guy releases, like, photos from a nude beach they went to on their honeymoon or something, or on a vacation, just in the middle of it. And then, like, all these TV shows, like, and they quote from one, and it's like, well, we'll find out about O.J.'s guilt or innocence. But now the important thing, what about Marcia's wardrobe?
Yeah.
it's you can't believe it, but it's like, but it brings you, I'll tell you what it really does. It really takes you back to that time and how it's crazy. And that's how, that was a big shift in the way that the media covers things.
No, that's true. All right. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
All right.
It's Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Kunz. Love it when he gets so passionate on something. And it's not that he usually doesn't. It's just, there's been some movies where it's like, okay, he hates this movie. Let's move on. But no, that's good. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com that you can check out on the high school, college, pro front around our great state of Arizona. Remember, next Wednesday is National Letter of Intent Day in college football. It's one of our signature days. We have lots of those now as we've grown this little idea into this. We are we're Sprouts in Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. That's what I tell people when they say, what are you all about? That's what we do. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your weekend.